Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, and Rolling Stone.
And it don't look good. Who are you gonna call?
So, who are you gonna call? How about Bill McClure? Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. And as indicated by this intro music, Ghostbusters, today's program is a special program highlighting Halloween music.
Who you gonna call?
Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the websites icebreakerideas.com and quizzes.com. Question number one, which fruit is most commonly associated with Halloween? Hint, think Charlie Brown. The Halloween fruit? Which fruit is that? And question number two, there are, of course, lots of popular Halloween songs. Some would say the musical lyrics for these holiday songs seem to reflect the height of songwriting skill. So which popular Halloween song has these brilliant lyrics? Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. Is that A, Purple People Eater, B, Witch Doctor, C, Ghostbusters, or D, Monster Mash? Famous lyrics for which popular Halloween songs? The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of October the 30th. Well, it was on this very day back in 1988 that Debbie Gibson held a séance at her Halloween party to contact the spirits of Liberace and Sid Vicious. Who else would you want? 1988, today, at singer Debbie Gibson's home. And it was 22 years ago today, 1998, that Kiss kicked off its Psycho Circus tour with a Halloween extravaganza in Los Angeles, California. The Smashing Pumpkins, of course, was the opening act. Chet Atkins performing Mr. Bojangles introduces our country and folk music news. It's an article entitled, Jerry Jeff Walker, who wrote Mr. Bojangles, dies at 78. This is published in NPR by Matthew S. Schwartz on the 24th of October, 2020. Country music singer Jerry Jeff Walker, the man behind Mr. Bojangles, died Friday after a battle with throat cancer. He was 78. He was at home until an hour before his passing. His wife of 46 years, Susan Walker, told the Austin American-Statesman, "He went very peacefully, which we were extremely grateful for." Born Ronald Clyde Crosby in New York in 1942, Walker cut his teeth in the folk music scene of Greenwich Village in the 1960s. After spending a night in a New Orleans drunk tank in the mid-1960s, Walker wrote Mr. Bojangles, which would go on to become a hit and attract several covers by other famous artists, including Bob Dylan, Harry Belafonte, and Sammy Davis Jr. After moving to Austin in 1971, Walker had an outsized impact on the country music scene there, helping to create a genre known as outlaw country, a sort of blend between rock and folk, which was also popularized by Willie Nelson and others around the same time. Other than Willie, Jerry Jeff is the most important musician to happen in Austin, Texas, I would have to say. Ray Benson of the country group Asleep at the Wheel told the Tennessean, "He really brought that folk singer-songwriter form to its height in Texas, and for that he'll be eternal because there's all these kids today that write songs in that mode." Fans of Jimmy Buffett may have Walker to thank for his association with Key West. In Buffett's 1998 biography, he credited Walker with introducing him to all the funky bars and watering holes from Miami to Key West. During his 51-year recording career, Walker released 36 albums. Classical music is probably not what we first think of when conjuring up Halloween tunes. This genre, nevertheless, has a long history of producing spooky music, including Danse Macabre by Saint-Saëns, Stravinsky's Infernal Dance, and this composition by Manuel de Falla, playing in the background now, El Amor Brujo, which translates as Love the Magician. As noted by John Henkin in a 7/11/19 article in HollywoodBowl.com, although Falla owed much to a formative sojourn in Paris, where he learned from colleagues such as Debussy and Ravel, his music remained firmly rooted in Spanish arts, both folk and classical. After leaving Paris at the beginning of World War I, Falla's first work back in Madrid was El Amor Brujo. In its original form, a mix of dances, songs, and spoken text. An old Andalusian legend served as the basis for this story. The tale, in its final 1925 version, concerns a young widowed gypsy haunted by the ghost of her jealous husband. To free her from his unwanted attention, she and her new lover must exchange a kiss of perfect love. In a series of dances, the ghost first frightens the couple, dance of terror, and she tries to exorcise it, ritual fire dance. While the ghost is distracted, the two lovers kiss, and then mock the ghost in the final dance, dance of the game of love. Falla was able to bring flamenco into a classical context, establishing a roadmap for orchestral flamenco. Perhaps the best-known example of this is the oft-transcribed Ritual Fire Dance. Although a vivid work of theater, El Amor Brujo is as much a series of intense musical reflections on the power of love as it is sheer storytelling.
When the fun was loud and hearty, a notorious wallflower became the life of the party. The spooks were having their midnight fling. Mary Megan was in full swing. They shrieked themselves into a cheerful trance. When the skeleton in the closet started to dance.
Louis Armstrong introduces our jazz music article titled Happy Halloween. Louis Armstrong performs Skeleton in the Closet. This is published in OpenCulture.com on October 31, 2014. Should you happen to be in the vicinity of Corona, Queens, go to the Louis Armstrong House Museum just to see to Jack Bradley, the greatest photo taker, a collection of candid private moments captured by the friend Satchmo described as his white son. If pre-existing engagements prevent you from haunting Corona today, virtual chills await you with The Skeleton in the Closet, Armstrong's show-stopping number from 1936's Pennies from Heaven. That masked man on the drums is frequent collaborator Lionel Hampton. The vintage Halloween content is a real treat. Gimme ghosts, goblins, and an old deserted mansion on an old forgotten road over psycho gore or depressed prefab sexiness any day, not just October 31. Pennies from Heaven was Armstrong's first major screen appearance. At the insistence of star Bing Crosby, his turn as a mathematically challenged band leader snagged him a main title credit, a first for an African-American actor appearing opposite whites.
Monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
Bobby Boris Pickett's Monster Mash introduces our pop and rock music news. It's entitled The Top 20 Songs Everyone Plays on Halloween. This is published in Insider.com on the 26th of October 2018 by Callie Algrim. Plenty of holidays are fully covered on the playlist front. Valentine's Day just needs love songs, and Christmas will always have Michael Bublé. But it can be difficult to organize music for a Halloween event. Luckily, Spotify has released the top streamed songs on Halloween, and it's the perfect mix of classic novelties and evergreen rock hits.
The party had just begun. The guest included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son.
The full playlist includes everyone from Beyoncé and Keisha to David Bowie, but we've rounded up the top 20 most popular songs to stream on the spooky holiday.
Stops hard. You try to scream, but dare I take the sound before you make it.
The list includes The Time Warp, 1973 at number 19, Zombie, 1994 by the Cranberries at number 18, Symphony for the Devil, 1968 by the Rolling Stones at number 15, I Put a Spell on You, 1956 by Screaming Jay Hawkins, Superstition by Stevie Wonder, 1972 at number 11. Black Magic Woman by Santana, 1968 at number 10. Werewolves of London by Warren Zevon, 1978. Monster Mash by Bobby Boris Pickett at number 3, 1962. Ghostbusters by Ray Parker Jr., 1984 at number 2. And coming in at number 1, the one playing in the background right now. Michael Jackson's Thriller from 1983.
Stenches in the air, the funk of 40,000 years, and grisly ghouls from every tomb are closing in to seal your doom. And though you fight to stay alive, your body starts to shiver, for no mere mortal can resist the evil of the Thriller.
Concerto for Violin, Oboe, and Strings introduces our local music news. An article written by David Menconi, published in Our State magazine, November 2020 issue, entitled Moogseum. In 1972, 6 years before Robert Moog moved from Western New York to Western North Carolina, the electronic instrument maker taught a week-long workshop for children in the Clay County community of Brasstown. Under Moog's guidance, the kids built rudimentary synthesizers called Brasstown Bangers. One of those instruments is on display at the Moogseum in Asheville Museum. That celebrates the ideas and eccentricities of one of the most important instrument makers in modern music history. Unveiled in 1964, Moog's synthesizer went on to electronically color the music of artists ranging from classical composer Wendy Carlos, whose Switched on Bach won a Grammy in 1969, to rock and pop acts like The Beatles, Kraftwerk, and Donna Summer. Inside the 1,400-square-foot Moogseum, a timeline follows Moog and his synthesizer, now a staple in all genres of music, from the early years when he built the prototype to his later years living, working, and teaching in Asheville. The prototype sits in the museum alongside a replica of Moog's workbench. A lot of people have a glorified idea of who Bob Moog was, as if this synthesizer descended from heaven into a pristine lab where he was wearing a white coat, says Michelle Moog Kusa, his daughter, and the executive director of the Bob Moog Foundation. His real life could not have been further from that. He had struggles, but most of all, he was insatiably curious and interested in teaching all kinds of people. And teach he did. Asheville may be best known for its traditional acoustic music, but Moog showed that the swirling space-age sounds of his synthesizer could fit quite naturally against the mysterious backdrop of the Blue Ridge Mountains. This museum is located at 56 Broadway Street, downtown Asheville, North Carolina. And in music virus news, we have this article entitled, COVID-19 is scaring up creative tricks for treats in Bucks County. This is published in Bucks County Courier-Times by Joe Clavaglia on the 23rd of October, 2020. The coronavirus tried to kill him. It has stopped his kids from seeing most of their friends. It has left the household finances a nightmare. Stephen Donahue was not about to let COVID-19 take away his family's Halloween plans, so he built a candy catapult using scrap wood, a bungee cord, a plastic container, and imagination. The contraption launches sweet treats more than 6 feet away into a styrofoam coffin guarded by a creepy butler in front of the family's Middletown home. One day we were just talking about what we were going to do to make things interesting for Halloween this year, he said. We were joking around saying we should make a candy pult, and lo and behold, here it is. Donahue isn't alone in either his creativity or determination to celebrate the scariest holiday during the scariest public health crisis in modern U.S. history. Many are coming up with ways to trick-or-treat while following CDC COVID-19 safety guidelines. Costumes will sport social distance-inspired accessories such as gloves and face protection. PVC pipe is a popular candy delivery vehicle. Some houses are setting up tables at the end of driveways with candy or goodie bags spaced apart for quick drive-by treating. Salad tongs, craft sticks, and pool skimmers are being used to hand out treats, but others are shutting off the porch lights, instead opting for small, private get-togethers with friends and family, worried about lingering uncertainty with the lurking virus. Morrisville resident Michelle Jobs and her neighbors came up with a new holiday tradition in September when it was unclear if towns would cancel traditional Halloween activities. Each family picks the name of another family out of a hat and leaves little treats on the front porch. The families don't know what family picked their names. They don't know when treats will be left, how often, or what it will be. They call it booing, Jobs says. Her family has been visited at least twice. Someone left her 7-year-old a card with stickers in the mailbox. The next time it was 3 bags with candy, slime, and a skeleton. The point isn't to spend a fortune. It's to brighten up everybody's day, Jobs said. The kids have decided they are having so much fun booing each other, they want to continue for Thanksgiving and Christmas. One family realized they could turn the motorboat that spends the winter parked in the front yard into a pirate ship. They decked it out with orange lights, black netting, a spider web, a few skeletons and ghouls, and a skull and crossbones flag. The most important addition? A long, gray, fist-wide PVC pipe attached to the bow, which will act as a candy chute. Her mom will stay on top of the boat dressed in pirate gear, safely at least 10 feet away from the kids, but still able to see everyone and pass out candy. For worried parents, one positive is that trick-or-treating is an outdoor activity, an environment medical experts believe makes the virus harder to transmit, said Bridget McEnew, director of infection prevention for Doylestown Health. McEnew and her husband are handing out candy. She's planning to wear her nurse outfit, which will let her incorporate her face mask. Her husband is going to use hot dog tongs as an artificial hand to pass out candy, she said. So how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, which fruit is associated with Halloween? And I gave as a hint, think Charlie Brown. Halloween fruit, which one? Correct answer, well, it turns out, the pumpkin is, in fact, a fruit, not a vegetable. It originated in Central America. Turnips were used to carve prior to the use of pumpkins on this holiday that originated in Ireland. And the Catholic Church holiday, All Saints Hallows Day, is the religious day associated with this holiday. By the way, the character Linus in the Charlie Brown Peanuts comic strip by Charles Schulz would wait in the garden patch every year for the Great Pumpkin. The Great Pumpkin is an unseen imaginary character. The existence of the Great Pumpkin is a strongly held belief by Linus, who has often been described as the most intelligent of the group and yet the most gullible. Linus explained his annual wait in the garden patch this way. Each year, the Great Pumpkin rises out of the pumpkin patch he thinks is the most sincere. As shown in the TV holiday special based on this story, the Great Pumpkin never does show up and turns out to be just Snoopy, the dog, with a pumpkin on his head. Those darn beagles. And the answer to our second question, there are, of course, lots of popular Halloween songs. Some would say the musical lyrics for these holiday songs seem to reflect the height of songwriting. So, which popular Halloween song has these brilliant lyrics? Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. Is that A, Purple People Eater? B, Witch Doctor, C, Ghostbusters, or D, Monster Mance? Correct answer? Answer B, Witch Doctor. As noted in songfacts.com, Witch Doctor was a huge hit, going to U.S. number one in 1958 and staying there for 3 weeks. Soon after, the songwriter, David Seville, created three distinct voices and branded his act the Chipmunks. Witch Doctor is the story of a gentleman seeking some help from a witch doctor in order to impress a woman with whom he has fallen in love. The wise witch doctor offers some words of advice in order to help the gentleman win the woman's heart by saying, ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. It was said to be a call for love. While it's quite a stretch to think of this tune as R&B, it was a number one R&B hit. Many R&B chart toppers of the day were comedic or novelty recordings, including Get a Job by the Silhouettes and Yakety Yak by the Coasters. Seville got the idea for this song from a story published in a Reader's Digest condensed book in 1957 called Duel with the Witch Doctor. Some of the many uses of this song in the media include TV shows The Simpsons and The Muppet Show. So let's close out today's program with Sha-na-na's cover of this holiday song.
The witch doctor, I was in love with you. I told the witch doctor I was in love with you. And then the witch doctor, he told me what to do. He said that. I told the witch doctor you didn't love me true. I told the witch doctor you didn't love me nice. And then the witch doctor, he gave me this advice. He said that.
Oh, wonderful lyrics there, huh? Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program's also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long. Until next time, and happy Halloween.
My friend the witch doctor, he taught me what to say. My friend the witch doctor, he taught me what to do.